Hi, friends. Thank you for listening to From the Fryer. I'm Ellie.
This is Leon. Thank you for joining us in another episode of 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes. First off, apologies to everyone. We are quite late with this episode. Life got crazy. I feel like I'm always saying that these days, but because of that, we want to
quickly... Life is crazy. Fuck that. It's been weird.
It is weird. And so we have decided to just... We didn't want to skip the last episode, but we also didn't want to try to keep playing catch up. So we'll just do two episodes today. And I believe that's the same thing we'll do with Married at First Sight for this week. Just combining all the things to get caught up versus trying to do one and then another one.
They'll just be a little bit more action-packed episodes.
Let's just say watching 3 hours of 90 Day Fiancé was a lot in one sitting.
It's like a marathon, huh?
It was a lot.
It's a lot of FaceTime with your people.
Too much. I think we need to talk about the incident.
Which one?
Something happened at 5:20 this morning, and...
Oh, boy.
I'm still processing it.
Oh, boy. Do you want to do the
background? I will set the scene. Okay. I will set the scene. There is a neighborhood cat who we love very much. Visits with everyone, loves pets, people love walking by and petting him. It's very great. It's the neighbor's cat, not our cat. Super cute. He's been coming into the house every now and then, and it's usually about a 10 to 20 minute process. He looks around, he inspects the house, he stares at a wall very creepily. We joke that that's the ghost, and then he moves on. Also, we have a cat door, but we locked it coming into the house because he started abusing it multiple times. We would wake up at 3-4 in the morning of him just screaming in our hallway, and we didn't even know he was in the house. So we locked it so that he can only leave our house. He cannot come into the house, and we thought, all problem solved.
That's probably like some psychological shit, and someone's gonna comment and be like, you guys are fucking crazy.
Okay, maybe we should not do that, but it was the solution to the problem at the time. Mm-hmm. So recently he's been spending more time here. And so, like, actually hanging out. Getting more comfortable. Slept in our guest room for, like, 8 hours.
Did you notice it first started with short naps?
It was short naps, and then he's, like, full sleep cycles here now.
Like, full 8 hours, if not more.
And that's happened maybe once or twice. Mm-hmm. So he's getting really comfortable, has no problem screaming at the door, wants us to open it for him to come in or out, even though he has a cat door, whatever.
So it's funny, like, this cat... We've seen it go out the cat door just normally, but randomly, he will just stand by the doors and just yell for us, even though he knows how to get out of the house.
Yeah, in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So, that sucks, because he knows there's a door. I've seen him use it all the time. He just wants out that other door. So, setting up the scene of about 5:20 this morning, we hear some screaming in the hallway. I forgot he was even in here, but again, I assume he will go out the side door. He does not. He's screaming in the hallway and then comes into the bedroom and starts screaming at the foot of the bed. Well, Leon has no problem snuggling with him. He always goes to his side of the bed. He never comes to my side of the bed.
On the warm body.
That's true. I'm always cold. He jumps up onto bed. I hear Leon being, you know, trying to be like, oh, you're so cute. Look at you. You know, come hang out. What are you up to? And I'm just super tired. So I'm just laying down. And then I hear it happening. I hear Leon yelling, and I hear him saying, don't look, don't look, don't look. And I know what's happening. I know what's happening. And he tells me that he's shitting on our bed.
Well, I wouldn't say shitting. He just dropped a poop. One poop. A small poop.
Well, I didn't look because I just heard all the yelling, and you told me not to look.
But so I think... The cat has stomach issues?
The cat has stomach issues. I can't differentiate between his screaming of, I just want your attention, I want to get out the front door, and apparently there's a scream of, I need a shit.
So I did some reading, and there's like a bunch of different reasons cats will poop inside. It's either they have, stomach issues.
Yeah, which we know he does. And we never feed him because we know he's on a special diet.
Either they're bored. AKA, you're not paying attention to the cat.
That's an easy solution here. Yeah, that's high on the list. Or it's
an unkept litter box, but in our case, we have no litter box.
Which is that I'm not getting a litter box for him. Like, that's too far.
But they say if they do use the bathroom in your home, like, you have to really clean the area.
Because if not,
they'll come back.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess shit again for some reason.
It's a shitting spot.
But that was, like, dogs. Like, don't they just mark their territory, but then they, like, shit somewhere else? Not in the same spot, so.
I don't know. But, yes. So, lots of yelling at 5:30 in the morning. I don't do well with poop or vomit, so.
So, I cleaned it up.
And I was fully up from that point. Leon.
Yeah, Ellie was like, let's just go to get coffee. I said, right, yeah, I was now.
Like, I'm done. Like, let's
I start the day.
I will not recover from this. Like, I am up.
See, I'm opposite. I will go right back to bed. I'm not. I'm telling my body we're going back to bed.
Not me. We're up. We're traumatized. That anyway, was a very intense did have awakening.
Did have to put the cat out.
So right after that, Leon is not chasing the cat, but he's trying to corral the cat and pick him up, but he doesn't really. He's trying to pick him up with, like, one hand. The cat's just weighting himself. He's just making himself heavier. And Leon can't pick it up, so he quickly, like, got rid of the poop so I wouldn't see it. He is trying to get to the cat, but can't pick him up, so I pick up the cat, and I take it downstairs. Leon opens the door. We get it outside, and then we're just, like, traumatized. Like, we don't know what to do. And I'm up. That's it. My day has started. So I went and worked shortly after that.
Probably gonna shit in our porch.
There have been mysterious logs on our deck, and I assume it's him from every time I put him out.
Yep. Every time you don't let him in, he's like, you're not going to let me in? I'm just going to shit right here.
Yep. Fast forward to tonight, and the reason probably our audio sounds better because we're in the tiny guest room versus we usually like to record at the dining room table, but what sucks is we have wood floors and everything's echoing off. Like, we don't have a lot of furniture, there's no rugs or anything, so it's quite echoey, but we could see him peering through the cat door.
It's those eyes.
And it's so sad. It's the saddest but meow you've ever heard.
He's also meowing like he doesn't have another home right behind him.
Yeah. Like, his house is right there. He has a cat door. We've been over to their house. Like, he has full access to food and water and everything he could possibly want over there. But
he's meowing like...
he's abandoned.
Yeah, like, he's abandoned.
And it's the saddest meow I've ever heard in my life, and we knew we couldn't paw down there. We were both about to cave and let him in.
Yeah, we can't.
And I know it's probably not good to do, to be like, yeah, you can come in this time, but not this time. That's probably weird psychologically to the cat, so I don't know what the solution is, but it's just tonight, it's not happening. I need a full night of sleep and a clean bed.
Yeah.
I'm very tired. I did not nap. But that was our traumatizing moment that needed to be spoken about. Honestly, everything else that has happened in the last week pales in comparison to waking up to a cat shitting basically on you in bed.
Yeah. That was...
I have no life updates other than that.
I think my body's now synced up to the smell, and I'm holding in. I'm totally honing in. I'm like, no, I smell it. Something.
I do appreciate right after you had to check every room.
Oh, yeah. I was like sniffing. I was like, Nope, this room's good. It's next room. Nope, this room's good too.
Know the smell of his tiny booty.
Oh, that was gross.
So now we're just, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm fine with him coming in, but man, it's going to have to be short spurts.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll Google. We'll figure out what the right thing to do is. All right. Should we just move on? Yeah. Anything else really important happen?
No.
I don't think so. That was just cherry on a crazy week.
That's what a way to start the work week. This is wild.
Real early. I didn't even get off any earlier. Like, I started work so early. And I still
It's funny. Everyone with babies is probably just laughing their fucking ass off at us. Like, they think that's bad?
Well, there's people that have, like, don't have kids. And every time I do change a diaper, I'm the biggest
baby.
This
just shows us that we can never own a dog.
We definitely can't. Like, we've toyed with the idea of getting a cat just because they're generally take care of their own needs, you know. Yeah. They'll either go outside or use a cat box. Dogs don't, you know, I mean, you have to clean it up regardless of if it's where it is. So we know we can't handle a dog. Also, they're significantly larger poops.
Every time I watch people like walk the Great Danes,
I'm
big is that poop? That's gotta be like a human size
anytime
poop.
Okay, so anytime I see a dog poop and their owner immediately picking up, I don't know how they can do it. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have dogs, and it's part of owning a dog. And I just can't do it.
Nah.
I don't have it in me.
I'd be like, Merla, I need a pooper scooper.
One as big as me, so I can stay super far away from it. Oh my god. I can't stop looking at your hair now.
Oh, the beard?
Oh my god.
It looks so stupid.
I haven't seen it up close. So why did he do that?
I don't know. I need to fade it.
Okay, so Leon got a haircut today. And the lineup looks great, super crisp, nice fade. But he, like...
He didn't fade the beard into where it meets
the hair. No, so it's, like, thick beard, bald, fade.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know, did I just not look closely today? Yeah, it
looks really bad.
When I wouldn't say really bad,
but I... When I got to the car, it's all fluffy here. I'm like, oh, God, that's not normal.
You'll fade it. It'll be fine. I'll fade it. Okay.
That's fine.
So today we will be talking about 90 Day Fiancé, The Other Way, Season 3, Episode 6 and 7. So what premiered last week as well as last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know what'd be more helpful if I said the actual dates? Last night is very vague. Yeah, but we'll know the one previous and the most recent.
Maybe we'll put it in the show notes.
Let's start with Alina and Steven. We got a ton of time with them on both episodes, and I figure we'll just kind of cover the main parts of both episodes, because there was so much detail in building to kind of the main things that happened.
Do you just want to summarize both episodes for each couple?
I'll just kind of go over main points, because I took an absurd... Watching the show for the 3 hours, I have the most absurd amount of notes that, looking back, we really don't need to talk about these very specific things that happened. So... Kind of what built up was every scene, Steven let a little bit of the truth out. And it was infuriating to see it this way, because I've been yelling at the TV since day one when we found out Steven has had sexual relations before going to Turkey. And he's never told Alina, and she's giving up her life. I mean, I guess he has too, in a sense. But it's so unfair to her. And we just kind of see the accumulation of that, finally, during these two episodes.
It seems like he has to work his way up to that moment.
And he has horrible timing. Let's do it the day before mom arrives.
Maybe he thinks that if the mom was there, he wouldn't be able to tell her what will, you know, it's like kind of like the stage fright thing.
I mean, what I guess every single time is a bad time. You're so late into this, like, right. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I could see that.
So the first thing that gets revealed is... After he asked for permission to go out with other girls, and she said no, he did anyway. Strike number one.
Strike number one, already showing a sign.
And she was shocked by that.
Yeah.
You have so much more coming. But super sad to see her just time and time again.
He responded the wrong way in that interaction. I think he mentioned, you never got kissed by another guy? And she was like, no.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
She goes, I was in a relationship.
And that's just not the right way to respond in that situation.
Also, the way he described it was crap. He half told her the truth. When she questioned him, he said, I went out with friends that are girls. Sometimes alone. Sometimes like this. Like, just say, yes, I did. I'm sorry. Or, I mean, at this point, don't fluff anything.
I don't know, because partly he doesn't want to disappoint her, but he knows, like... I'm totally fucked if I don't tell her, so I have to.
Yeah, and it's on TV now, so it eventually will come out regardless of if you want it or not.
Mm-hmm.
In between kind of all the breaking news happening between their relationship, good old Masha shows back up. And we find out that Steven did in fact reply to her message. You said you did not take that as an invitation.
I thought that old girl was reaching a little bit. By saying, oh, he invited you. I was like, he just said the best time to come was in the winter,
Do you think the translation was correct?
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, the message she sent him was, where is that? I'd like to come visit.
Yeah.
But then he says, the best time to come is in the winter. They say we have the best snow.
Yeah.
I didn't really take that as, come have a sexual escapade in the snow. He's just like, the best
time. Meant...
We have the best snow. The best time to come is probably in the winter.
To Alina, it meant, like, I'll show you around. Come hang out, I think is how she took
the way,
that.
The way it was translated to us on the show, I didn't take it that way.
Okay, yes, so that makes sense. And then she's just fucking with him at this point, because she tells her to keep messaging.
Oh my God, they're running, like, some crazy Russian spy espionage mission against this dude.
But interesting, she has him delete his social media in the next bomb that drops. So I wonder if that's going to affect how he talks with Masha. Is he going to still talk
to her?
He's
like, yeah, I'll delete my social media.
But I'm keeping all my messengers.
Yeah. Wink, wink.
Yeah. Oh, man. I can see him doing that. Like, no problem.
Well, he's got to make his backup plan. He sees this fading. He's like, oh my God. this might not work out. I need to find my Russian wife ASAP.
Steven then admits that he has kissed girls that he went on dates with and didn't tell her.
No, no, you're missing the point. He said he's kissed 100 girls.
We're not there yet.
Oh, boy.
No, this is when he just said,
oh,
I kissed girls. Steven admits he kissed girls, but didn't tell her because she wouldn't be happy about it. He says, and I quote, I can kind of see why Alina was confused about my level of commitment, because I'm a big dreamer. My words didn't match my level of commitment. Ah, yes, so nice of you to come to that realization now and not during the time of pretending to be committed.
I'm a big dreamer.
So he likes to talk about having kids and getting married, but he doesn't mean it. And he's, you should, like, know that about him.
I'd like the dream of me being celibate and saving myself for you, but that's not reality.
Yep. At this point, Alina asks him to stop speaking with all of his female friends and to delete his social media. His response, Jesus had female friends.
This is so stupid.
You know what? Jesus also made wine out of water and he drank it. So what, like, what is your, what are you, I just don't understand, like, what, more, what you're trying to do here.
It's more like picking and choosing. Like, yeah. Why?
Something that fits his agenda and what he wants, because that's all that matters to him.
I mean, I guess in his religion, you're also supposed to save yourself for marriage, and apparently he's failed like 5 times.
Yeah, 4 or 5. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
I love that they went wine tasting.
That was cool.
Who denies cheese? Alina, girl, I'm always on your side. Don't never deny the cheese.
That was kind of weird. But it was, to begin with, like, probably the most awkward wine taste. I mean, I haven't been on wine tastings, but it was very...
Well, you're not sticking your tongue into a glass, even if you're tasting or, like, spitting out. I've never seen anyone put a tongue into the glass.
Steven reminds me of someone that's somewhere between, like, 16 and 19, and they just do weird
shit. But he's, like, 25.
And they just do weird shit just to do weird shit. Just to do shit. It
and just to get a reaction.
Like, oh, there's a fence there. I must climb it. And everyone's like, why?
We were just talking about that this weekend. My nephews were, they were climbing a fence, but the gate was right next to it. But they would not right. go through the gate.
I'm getting some Steven vibes, but then those
My are nephews kids. Are like 8. So.
And he's 25.
Yeah. Take of that what you will. So, they go wine tasting, and he admits that he has made out with, I believe he said, over 100 women.
How this man found 100 women to make out with him blows my fucking mind.
Became intimate with, you know, a dozen or so.
So that
no, 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 more personal. More... Not so we know what that means.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And he has slept with 4 to 5 women. I don't.
So
that's a lot of women to so he kiss, has make out with.
So he's gonna think that we're gonna believe when he says he's essentially broken the commandments of his religion
four or five
times.
I mean, I would count. I mean,
I'm sure that when he said they got closer or something with a dozen or couple dozen or whatever.
That's Does that probably not count not because allowed. There's no, you know, maybe it's not maybe it's full.
That, what's that BYU thing you showed me? the jump pumping?
Soaking. Maybe they were doing soaking and he doesn't count that, but that's what the other intimacy is.
So gross. But
do not look that up at work. Do not, yeah, I repeat, do not look that up at work.
So he's... Well, I would imagine one of the biggest rules to break is having sex before marriage.
Yes,
so he's
over
really,
wine, I would
he's
think.
He's really going to think that I believe he hasn't consumed alcohol at 25.
Yeah. Or caffeine.
Like, come on, dude, get real.
He's just such a liar about everything. About these big things, about little things, about his feelings for her. Like, their entire relationship is based on lies. And it's just lies every day.
You know, I bet you there's... a lot of really awesome Mormon folks out
yes,
there.
Yes, we... I mean, when we went to Utah, there were great people
Steven
there.
Steven is just a very, very small percentage.
Yes. I mean, I say it all the time. We talk about King Armando and the culture. I mean, there's always extremes in every culture and religion. And so I think he's just hopefully on his own little island.
Because right now he's failing like a lot.
Yeah, to hold her to the standard that he can't even hold himself to is bullshit.
Oh, and then she...
Good for her for drinking that wine.
And she drinks the wine.
Yeah.
So good.
And he's
oh, when it kept going, I wanted her to just refill her glass.
I want her to just take the bottle.
Yeah.
Look at him directly in the eye. Go to town, girl. When she finds out, she does this kind of eerie chuckle, and that's a chuckle of a woman about to snap.
Oh, the nervous chuckle.
Oh, yeah, kind where of. She just yeah. can't believe it. Mm-hmm. And so that's her initial reaction. The next day, they're not speaking, but don't worry, because Mom's coming to town. So she won't pick up on this at all. Steven is concerned about Alina telling her mom, but he should just be concerned about his relationship at this point and trying to save any aspect of it.
I mean, just because she's honest and he's not.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean she has to not tell her mom.
Yeah. Also, isn't... That's the whole thing, like, he... I'm sure one of the commandments are, like, honesty and truth and not lying. So does he want her to now lie to her mom? Yes. The answer is yes.
I wouldn't say lie, just don't tell her the whole truth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm sure he would not consider that lying. How do you feel about the red purse? That's hot. Because she's hot.
Yeah, I don't know. This bad choice of words. Kind of weird. Is he trying to win him over with gifts?
Definitely.
I don't know if that's really going to work in a situation.
We're well past that.
The chocolate tasting was a little bit awkward.
Real quiet. It was. They looked delicious, though.
They did look really good.
Moving on to Ari and Benny. They take Avi to the doctor's because he has a bulge in his groin, kind of when he cries or is fussing. They find out he has a hernia and that surgery will need to be performed sooner rather than later. Ari, I think, very understandably so, like any mother, would hate to hear this. I mean, the baby's very tiny still.
Yeah.
So I can't very knock fresh. Her on that. Ari says her insurance will pay for it if they have the surgery in the U.S., which means her parents are paying for a separate insurance plan out of pocket for her and Avi.
Right. We were kind of breaking this down.
You can stay on your parents' insurance until 26. And she's over 26. So they're paying to have her on. They're either eating the cost to have them on their insurance or have a separate plan.
And then we were thinking, even if she wasn't, I don't think her child is covered under that.
Oh, yeah. So, yes. So, the parents have a separate plan out on Avi.
That's got to be so expensive.
I know, because me and you usually, don't even combine insurances because it's so expensive.
Well, because usually your employer pays for, like, a big percentage of it. So, the fact that her parents are paying for
it even if you're
super expensive.
Even through an employer, to have dependents on it is so expensive.
Oh, yeah. Your monthly cost could go from, I don't know, $80 to $300, you know,
yeah,
like that's how crazy
absurd.
The jump goes.
It's a scam, but we don't have
but
to get into that.
I do like how she was kind of stepping around the fact that she just doesn't trust any surgeon to perform that operation in Ethiopia.
Or anywhere in that part of the world, I guess, because she's willing to go to another continent to have this surgery.
Yeah.
I just feel like there were closer areas that Benny could also come to.
There's a lot to this story.
There is, and my feelings kind of come down to, I really can't, like, I'm not a big fan of Ari, but I also can't blame her. It's your first child, child's very small, and needs a surgery. I mean, that's scary, I think, in any country, anywhere.
I think this, it's a lot deeper than that. I think I think she's lived a very sheltered life.
I agree. Even though she's worldly traveled, I think she's quite sheltered.
Well, even... She's faced with a tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was external sources like her mom or whatever that kind of led her to this decision or, you know,
I mean, it sounded like, well, says like, oh, mom bought the ticket. I'm leaving next week. Like, that's exactly what it sounded like.
As soon as she's talking, she's like, oh, hey, I bought a ticket. I'm leaving in a week. I said, and my mom bought a ticket. I'm leaving in a week.
Yeah.
It's almost like she probably reached out. Oh, you know, she probably told her parents what's going on with the kid.
Yeah.
And was like, hey, save me, you know, just to get out of jail free card.
Pretty much.
It's not fair because you're never put in a situation where you have to survive on your own.
Yeah.
Like, you have to get tougher.
No.
Or more tough.
No, and the parents bailed her out of everything.
And you even mentioned when they get on the call to talk with Ari's mom, how Binyam basically says that he doesn't trust her to watch the kid. I mean,
yes.
Even now, they have a live-in nanny.
And he's concerned about who's going to take care of the baby because he's not sure Ari can do it on her own, basically.
I don't even know how much she watches the baby now.
I don't think much, considering we never see her with the baby. Granted, I mean, we're getting snippets of their life, so I don't want to base a ton on that.
But hey, we're forced to, like, judge the show for what we see.
I know, I totally get that. I just always... I don't know. I always try to not be too harsh because, like, yeah, we're only getting snippets and edits are a big deal. But also, yeah, we should judge on what we see because I always try to fill in these gaps.
Well, yeah,
and, like, that's just making shit up.
I understand that. And even for TV, I can see where, well, how exciting is it if we just keep showing you her, just her, you know, a lot of the time she might be doing the same actions with the baby. Mm-hmm. For TV, that's probably not exciting to just keep showing the same
thing. Well, like, I, if I they have it. A little routine or
I get
whatever.
It. I get it.
But going back to kind of, you know, we talk about the surgery, and of course we can't blame her for being worried and wanting, you know, the best care that she thinks she can get. So I can't blame her for that. But man, it gets really complicated with tying in Benny's ex-wife. And it really sucks that her whole life there is just a comparison to the ex-wife. Like, yeah, it's not fair. Like, I'm not a fan of Ari, but that's still not fair.
She has been dealing with it in just all the time.
Yo, I come to hang out with my sister-in-law, and she greets me the way that they greeted her at the spa.
I'll be like, fuck,
we're not hanging out.
I'm fucking going back home.
Yeah. I don't have to spend any time doing this. Why am I trying to impress you?
She should have clapped back when she said, yeah, but you're not Ethiopian. She'd be like, yeah, I'm American, and we're fucking late.
Walked in.
That scene was fucking weird. They were smoking out their hoo-has.
Yeah, so there wasn't really a... So I've heard of, like, steaming the hoo-ha.
Yeah.
But not smoking it out.
That does not feel... I can't imagine that feels like you're being clean.
It seems like there's a lot of, like, things left over since this year just sitting over charcoal. Like, I don't feel good, like, after a barbecue.
Yeah.
I don't really want that there.
Well, maybe part two of the spa is, like, a shower.
I'm sure it is. Because, I mean, you got butter dripping down your body and facial stuff. So.
That was a very powerful scene.
I did... It was very sad to see Benny's sister's reaction to just basically saying, please just let us see him.
It seems like everyone's scarred.
Everyone is very scarred by this. And so it's really hard to see. I mean, when she told Benny in the barbershop, it was immediate spiraling.
Right. And we mean scarred by, you know, Binyam's ex, you know, left and mm-hmm. you know, never came back. And
basically, that's it. There's no communication. Yeah. He's never going to see his kid again.
I'm sure the family made bonds with that child and even his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And that was kind of just, it seems like from what we see, just kind of taken away from him. And we don't get every side of the story. Maybe he was a piece of shit. We don't see that. But they
But they
still made, you know, connections and they're sad.
I have a question about that. Do you think Benny is a piece of shit? Because, here, I'll present some things to you.
All right.
She felt the need to tell him in a public space because she knew he had pride and he would not yell.
Yeah, I think
another.
I think it's a pretty smart,
defensive
thing for a woman to do, or I guess someone in a relationship. I should say woman, but just like
people that feel they need to have do things in a public space.
Or you know, he could have told him in front of one of his sisters or something, something where she wouldn't be alone.
Yeah, which is concerning. Also, my second example is. It sounds like either that night or the next day, he took their passports and hid it from them. He admits he did this.
I think that was blown up. It wasn't, I want to say blown up a little bit, because then she immediately says he gave them back immediately.
But to do that, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's just a hurt individual who really doesn't want to lose his family.
I know, and I think a lot of that
trauma. To him, it's if they leave, they're just gone.
That's it.
They're not coming back.
Even at the airport scene where he is taking them, you know, sending them off, he's just kind of reliving how it was last time and how it was like an excited, see you later, you know, have fun. And he just never saw them again.
Yeah, I could imagine that would be brutal to have a kid out there and just never see him again.
And they don't know anything about you.
Wow.
Like, to them, you abandon them.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what story is being presented
on
the other side.
It's sad. It was really sad to see Benny spiral.
You know, I still am questioning some things. Do you have a little bit more to add?
Not really. We kind of covered it all. I just want to know your thoughts on one other thing, but you can go first.
Well, we know they're going to go to the U.S. Their baby's going to have their operation.
Mm-hmm. She
ends up staying longer. I guess they're on the second month. She said she was going to be gone for 1 month.
Yeah.
We see her and Binyam are sort of having like a little argument.
Mm-hmm.
We're just assuming that, you know, Binyam's been going to clubs or doing whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever he's doing. But we also see Ari with a new face. So
yes,
I'm starting to question what the full extent of this trip was to go back to the States.
I mean, it gave her an excuse to maybe do things that she's been wanting to do.
I feel like these things take time, though.
Yeah.
Scheduling surgeries, consultations. Consults.
Having it, recovery.
But should that be your top priority when your baby just had a surgery?
I mean,
why? This is what I hate is because she has these opportunities of, I don't have to watch my kid. I have people watch
it. Mom and dad and
like,
sister.
It's like normal people don't have these opportunities.
No.
And I don't know. I think it's.
She's been very privileged and sheltered, and it's apparent almost every episode.
Yeah, just, I don't know. Something inside it just bugs me.
Yeah, because it's so different than how we grew up, I think. And so I don't know what that means. Is it jealousy? Is it envy? I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe we're just jealous as fuck. I don't know.
Because there's not really a break. There's not that safety net. There's not calling mom and being like, well, I'm going to get a new face. Watch my kid.
No. Yeah.
How do you feel about her buying a ticket, or excuse me, the mother buying a ticket without talking to Binyam?
So you and I are just assuming the mom bought the ticket.
I mean, they said that mom got the ticket.
Oh, they did say that. Oh, I missed that.
She bought the ticket.
I missed that. How do I feel? I feel like they don't respect Binyam's position in the family.
At all. Because even in the video call, they said, well, you know, you'll always be in his life.
That doesn't make me feel secure at all. What does that mean? I get a Skype call?
Yeah.
To see my kid?
You see him on his birthday. Like, no, that's not what we're talking about.
Hmm. It's because, and I'm not talking about his position like the man. I mean, like.
No, just being father and the fiance and having a say in anything.
Yeah, or even just, you know, being even partners in this relationship.
Yeah.
But your mom's like, oh, yep, I got a ticket. You're coming back to the U.S.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I need to go talk to my husband. Like, we need to, like, talk about
decisions of our life. Oh, no. Her parents rule all. That was, it is not up to them.
That was, but or him, I feel like the parents have that power because they probably provide a lot for them.
Yeah. You mean they provide everything for them.
That's what happens, though, when you allow someone in that position.
But Ari doesn't mind.
No, she doesn't mind, but
that's how she wants her life to be. I don't think she can live and succeed without her parents.
That's an interesting statement.
Is it too strong of a statement?
I think her life would be very different without them.
Yes. I don't think it'd be as comfortable or, you know, as, I don't know what the correct way to state it as, but not having that safety net would be extremely stressful for her.
Her sister's fucking hilarious too.
Yeah, well, I assume that's her sister.
Her sister.
Yeah. You okay? You did your thing.
You had your fun little trip. It's time to get back to reality.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I find it funny that she says get back to reality after
her sister probably does not like her.
She probably finds her really fucking annoying.
Yeah,
her sister like worked her ass off to get to some position. Like,
she's probably
why do I assume that her sister somehow works in a hospital?
We see a lot of it.
Her sister's like a doctor.
I'm killing it.
And then her older sister went to go discover herself or something. Wait, you went to go discover yourself and then you had face surgery in America?
Yes.
Hmm.
Not knocking on surgery, though.
No.
It's just a weird coincidence of timeline. Like, girl, do whatever you want. I love Larissa. Larissa's just going to keep modifying.
No, that was my gripe with this is I don't really care that you had face surgery. It's more of we're watching this show. I would love for you to just be straight up. Be like, yeah, just say it. Be like, I don't really trust any doc surgeon out here to perform this operation. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
We got good insurance in the U.S. We got some dope ass surgeons. I'm just going to go over there. And hey, while I'm over there, I'm gonna do a little work on myself. I'd be like, wow, she's being so real right now. Then,
I mean, maybe they did have that conversation. We don't know. Again, I'm trying to fill in these things. Sorry. Yeah. But yeah.
Good data.
It was so sad, though.
Yeah, it was. Oh, man.
It's so sad to see how scarred everyone is. Kenny and Armando.
Talk about scarred.
Man.
Where do you begin?
I know. I wrote down, Kenny is fully immersing into the culture. It's like midday and he's drinking a large Coke. We drink Coke with everything. It's either coffee or Coke. That's like it.
Yeah, you send the kid to go buy a 2-liter Coke.
Yep. Can never be out. Also, that rental house, gorgeous. I've never seen a home like that.
Where the fuck are they living?
That's just the rental house.
They could just find rentals like this.
I've never seen a kitchen like that in Mexico.
Yeah, no.
That was so strange. It literally looked like an American suburb. That's what's so weird.
That's because we're living in, like, the ghetto.
I mean, accurate. Yeah. But it's just... But, like, even in, like... I feel like resort towns, it's not even...
Man, we're living in the part where something goes wrong and our whole town loses electricity.
Okay. I mean, okay. Well. This is probably the more developed part of Mexico, I guess.
Like, we get the water comes at a certain time of the day.
Oh, man. People don't know that struggle. You run out of water? That sucks.
Yeah.
No hot showers? Like, the regulars to not have hot showers.
Right.
How did you feel about Kenny's reaction to Armando telling him about the conversation between him and his dad?
I think he expects too much.
I also, and it discouraged me to see that. Because the growth of Armando's family is like, I don't think people understand how significant this is. This does not happen.
Yeah, I mean, Armando even mentioned it. You know, Mexico is really conservative.
Yes.
And, I mean, even a lot of parts of the world are super conservative about...
There are parts of the U.S. that are extremely conservative.
So, gay culture, the gay community, it's different.
Yeah.
It's
I think they're making so much progress, and I hate that it's thought of as not enough. And when will it be enough?
I actually also don't like when Kenny's daughter mentions that it's so weird for her to see that it's not accepted.
Yes.
And I'm calling bullshit. They live in fucking Florida.
Yeah. And there's big ass pockets
of Florida that are conservative as shit.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me you have not met someone that is not into gay people.
I mean, maybe she just stayed in her little neighborhood her whole life, and her dad did a really good job of protecting her from that hate, which is, like, great. And it's amazing that you've had that upbringing, but I think it is very different than from a lot of people's stories that have come out.
But I just call BS because we have entire movements just to help the gay community, like gay pride, like, you know, things to sort of push it forward because it hasn't been that way even in America. So the fact that she
currently
says that, it just really irks me. Like, how can you say that when we have issues ourselves in this country with like the gay community, as far as not being totally accepting and being okay with everything that goes on and all the different types of communities out there? Like, there's still a lot of, I don't want to say like separation, but just sort of like that conservative mindset.
Yeah.
Anyway, that just kind of irked me that she mentioned that, because that's total bullshit.
And I get that because, I mean, sadly, you see it too often. So I agree. I think Kenny does want acceptance too fast, like complete acceptance. There can't be any hesitation. And it's not realistic. I think that Armando's sister makes a good point when they are at the seamstress store. I don't know what it's called. Fabric store. When she says she's never seen her dad with a woman. And we've never seen Armando with a man. That's right. And I think that's an amazing comparison, because I think that is a needed comparison. So I was listening to 90 Day Bay, great podcast. And they were talking about how would she feel if Kenny just came home with a woman one day, and that was going to be her new stepmom, you know?
Yeah, sorry, the word that was coming to mind was a juxtaposition.
Mm.
Yeah, it was perfect. Armando's sister. Her example was perfect.
Yes. Yeah, and it just takes some time to realize that's what it is. I think a lot of the show focused on what a hard time Armando's dad's having, but I feel like this episode was the first time we really saw what a hard time Armando's mom's having with this. Like, maybe just as much.
I wonder if Armando's dad seems like he has to be very, like, tough, and he says, you know, I don't really talk about these things, I don't show emotion, but I feel like that also translates to his wife, where she can't be totally open of her feelings because
a lot of the time it's very, like, you are a unit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whatever the other person's doing, you're doing.
We had a really good scene. So they went, I don't know if you're leading up to this, but they went to go get their marriage license.
Yeah.
And yeah, they found out that I guess it's just allowed legal now in their the state.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I wish somebody at the office would have told them that.
I know, instead of having to come and get the paperwork.
Gave them that paper.
The guy working in the office has a great voice, though, and he needs to become a radio personality.
Yeah, he was very articulate and just very efficient with his tone.
I'm admiring his lack of ums and you knows, something I struggle with.
Oh, something I struggle with a lot and likes.
How did you feel about Armando's dad giving Cassidy a necklace?
I thought it was a bit awkward.
Did you? I loved it.
No, it was cool, but I thought it was awkward that he showed more of an openness towards his daughter than Kenny.
I love that Kenny was like, where's my necklace?
But maybe it's one of those like, fuck you, parents don't get shit, kids get stuff.
Maybe, but I think it's easier for him to show love, affection to a woman. I'm not saying that's right, but I think that's how he's like trying to show Kennedy that like he might not accept it yet, but he does care. Mm-hmm. And he's going to show that through his daughter.
I think overall it was a really good scene.
I thought it was great.
Sure. His dad's making huge strides.
Yes, and I think that should be applauded.
Strides.
Just because he's not immediately, I am going to come to everything, I'm supporting everything, but I mean like...
Oh, I'm going to say it right now. I think he's totally going to the wedding.
I think he's going as well.
Yeah.
The wedding photo has leaked, but we could not see who the guests were.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
I was looking immediately. Yeah, I didn't even look at the couple. I was looking at the crowd.
I think he will be there.
I think so too. And he's going to be proud and he's going to be happy and it's going to be fine. He's just adjusting for now.
Yeah, the next time on, I think Armando mentions that he wants a kid.
He wants a baby.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very young guy. I mean, that's kind of what his mindset is. More power to him.
Cassidy could tote it and use her egg.
Oh, dear God. Oh, dear God.
I've been waiting to sink that in for a long time.
Okay, well, whose sperm do you use?
Well, obviously Armando's. His dad would be weird as fuck.
Yeah, I think DNA wouldn't work very well that way.
Well, I mean, it's not biological dad. It's adopted. But it's just weird to think of family tree time.
I'm in sync now.
I don't have a ton on Ellie and Victor super fast. It kind of boils down to Victor wants to stay and rebuild life in Providencia no matter how long it takes.
Fuck that. I'm trying to get an apartment. I'm trying to get a nice apartment out here. Can we chill?
I do appreciate that Hiromi brings up, you don't even like camping. And she's like, I know. I'm also not a big camper, so I feel that.
Yeah, would you? I get where he's coming from because that is his home.
And all of his family is there.
And all of his family is there. Yeah. He's not in a position to just leave.
No, and you're kind of a dick if you do.
Oh, yeah, our whole
my family. Mom's there? Fuck that.
Well,
yeah.
No, it's our whole island got fucked and, you know, you have the means to leave, mm-hmm. So you're gone. Like,
yeah, not a good look to leave your mom there and your sisters and the baby. Well, I don't know if it's a baby, but his niece.
They had a blow up on the next time on.
It does look like
they're talking about money. He's talking about
giving all the money back. Maybe she was like, this 3 days on, 3 days off is getting real expensive.
Yeah. Or just, I don't want to do this. I just want to like chill with you and live on the beach.
In San Andreas.
What's up with white people in beach bars? What is that?
I don't know. It's very Corey and Evelyn.
I feel like if I just sailed into the sunset in a fucking island, I'm just trying to like chill on the beach and fish.
You gotta make money though. Oh my God. Why did she open a pizza spot? By the slice, so good.
It would need to be like seafood recipes or something, or a fusion.
I think everyone loves a good cheese or pep pizza. We only offer two kinds. So that's it. Like literally have like nothing else for them. Just Ellie doesn't want to be there, but she wants to support him. So she's conflicted on.
But they didn't
continuing to support him or kind of following what she wants.
No. Maybe that blow up is because she actually brings up the infidelity. And kind of really pokes and prods him.
Well, it's probably that, but also she probably finally expresses herself and is like, I don't want this. I think it's maybe a combo. I don't know.
More to come on them.
Jenny and Sumit. Sumit's mom says she will not allow him to be happy because she is not happy. She will make his life miserable.
If that's
mom.
If that's not a sign to like bail to America, come on, dog.
Yeah. I understand he's very close to his family, but he's describing how manipulative his family is and how much of a bully his mom has been his whole life. And it sucks that he's still attached to that and still desperately wants her approval.
Family bond is tough. It's tough to break those
bonds. Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand that. But man, for a mother to want their child to be miserable, that's some deep-seated hate. Sumit says dad always surrenders to his mother and he was told to maintain peace, to give up in front of his mother. She is the boss, lie or suffer. So he blames his kind of previous habitual lying on that. To not face consequences or to not face truth because it's easier to lie.
Their mom runs that joint.
Dude, we called it from a long time ago. They go to family therapy, which honestly I'm super surprised by. I did not think his parents would even be in the same room with Jenny and Smith again.
And they kept their cool through the whole process.
They mostly did. It was kind of a lot of back and forth, and the therapist did say age is very important in Indian culture. The dad says there are no old people homes because everyone lives connected and everyone takes care of each other. So also no one gets married after 50. So after kind of a lot of back and forth of really nothing's going on, which I thought it was funny that Jenny was saying like, oh, nothing solved. And no, this whole family drama is not going to be solved in a half hour at this one therapy session. I don't know what the expectation was there.
What they're dealing with is, it's weird to say it's going to take a long time because, yeah, it takes a long time to recover from these things.
I don't think there is any recovering. You're either going to break up and Sumit will live happily ever after with his family, or he's going to leave his family and be with Jenny. And he's never going to do that, so I don't know why we're still doing this.
You know, I hate to say it, but I think I agree with you on those points.
Yeah, it's one or the other. There's no happy. No one's ever going to live happily ever after here. Sumit's mom comes up with a plan that is not normal for Indian culture, but she just made it up. She will move into their home and teach Jenny what it's like to be an Indian daughter-in-law.
You know what's weird? Isn't that actually kind of normal? Don't the parents normal. Move in with the younger
kids? Well, yeah, but like kids? After marriage.
Right.
Or no, I think they move in with the parents.
I need to check that.
We watched Indian Matchmaking, and it was always they would move in with like the husband's family.
That was for like well-off families though. Like, what if your son was more well-off and you moved in with them?
I just know all the families are in the same
roof. Yeah. Gosh, we're just uneducated Americans right now.
I know. I'm sorry. All my stuff comes from Netflix. Yeah. I don't watch anything but bad TV. So please don't take anything I say too seriously. So Sumit actually seems very happy about this and very excited. He wants to be under the same room with his parents again. And he really doesn't see that the entire goal of this is to just push Jenny out.
It's going to be a total shit show.
It's going to be a shit show.
They've already previewed it.
Oh, this have you not learned anything? You're too old to be learning now. Yes. Thank you,
So she's going to be questioning everything about Jenny.
Telling her she's stupid, doing things wrong. Making her life
a living hell. And then push her out.
That's her plan now.
The mastermind.
Yes. You know who's the winner in this? Benny's brother and sister-in-law getting that whole other house to themselves.
Oh, they're fucking.
Good for them. Well, she's pregnant. They're poking.
Well, they're still poking, I guess.
Yes. Sumit is just, like, really doing nothing in this situation to either help it or commit to anything. He just, like, keeps going with the flow, and it's not
anything. Waiting for his parents to just put Jenny on a plane and be like...
I think he's just... waiting for her to be run off. Like, he doesn't even care at this point.
Or he's waiting for her to say...
Yeah, he's not going to break up with her, but he wants to push her to the point that she leaves him.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm really excited to see... We've been following them for so long.
Oh my God, it has been so long.
I'm excited to see if they're just going to get married and sing Kumbaya or, you know, go their separate ways.
Corey and Evelyn... We finally meet Jenny. I remember weeks ago I was telling you, I really hope we meet Jenny this season. And we did.
I can't believe they even had her on.
And she's super chill and cool. And what the fuck is Corey doing? Why are you not with Jenny?
Because she has morals. He's married.
Yeah, but we'll get to it. But there's no reason for him not to be a Jenny at this point. Excuse me, be with Jenny.
I mean, fuck. Apparently Duke could leave Peru for like 2 months and find a bae.
God, it was like 4 months, wasn't it?
I don't know. I don't remember.
So he tells Evelyn that he's going to go look for a job, which red flag number one, he's probably like never done that before. So she should have known he's up to something. And then he goes and meets up with Jenny and he wants to essentially say, I'm sorry for ghosting you. This is it. I'm moving on. I think she figured it out.
That he was married?
Well, no, she knew that. But I think she figured out they weren't going to be together when you ghosted her 6 months ago. Like, you don't need to contact her again and say, we're done.
Gotcha.
There's no reason for it.
He said he still kept, what do you call it? Like, kept her on the, sort of kept messaging her or kept kind of like. I think he mentioned that he said he didn't fully like.
Well, yeah, he ghosted her. He just never talked to her again.
Oh, the way she described their relationship too, it was very passionate.
It was very passionate, and she spoke about Corey a way that Evelyn would never speak about him.
Isn't that crazy? Like such a difference in the current state of
relationships. In happiness with the same person. Evelyn doesn't, she's never loved Corey.
To be honest, I bet you the initial fling with Evelyn was probably just like this.
But look how horrible it's been for years.
Oh my gosh, I'll let you break it down, but there's more to come.
Corey definitely still has feelings for Jenny. I don't care what he says. He's like, the end is always with Evelyn. No, it's not. So he finally comes clean after being encouraged by Jenny to let Evelyn know how serious kind of their relationship was, and they were having sex and yada, yada, yada. Evelyn loses it. She's pissed. She's like crying for 2 episodes straight. I don't feel bad at all.
Oh?
Do you feel bad for her?
No, part of me, I think she's really mean.
I think she's very mean. She bullies him. She encourages other people to bully him. Why are you with him? You kicked him out as a test.
That's fucking weird.
After
you say... People gotta stop with this test shit.
Agreed. So you kick him out as a test. He moves on with his life, and you're mad about that.
She says, we were married.
Yeah, but that commitment meant nothing to you when you were kicking him out.
Yep.
You weren't willing to work on it. Yep. So why are you throwing this marriage thing that you trashed the entire time? You've made it very clear you don't give a shit about marriage and you don't want it. So don't say, I am your wife. That means nothing to you. You've made it very clear that means nothing. Don't try to turn it and use wife and marriage to your advantage now when it means nothing. So cry all you want. You're just mad because you got burned. Because he did exactly what you said to do. He left Ecuador. He didn't come back. He found someone else.
But why'd he come back?
Okay, so that's what that's not really connecting to me. Uh-huh. There's a lot of areas that don't make sense. Uh-huh. They both maintain that she said she never wanted him back. I wasn't calling him. I didn't beg him to come back. He came back on his own. But why? So he says, if I'm remembering correctly, that he needed to come get his stuff. And then quarantine happened like that day. So he had to stay there. Mm. And due to kind of the forced nature of that, they talked about their issues and they got back together. And then he just never talked to Jenny again, I guess. Whatever.
I'm amazed why he didn't just break it up then. If things were going so good.
Why did you go back for?
I'm not sure.
What was there that you needed?
Yeah.
Also, why couldn't you bail super fast? Grab that and just bail before quarantine? Because it was like military quarantine. Like, you couldn't leave. But you can't tell me it happened within 10 minutes of you getting there.
I'm torn on this because I feel like Corey's done some negatives in this relationship.
A lot of negatives. A lot, but yes.
I feel like Evelyn, she seems really like a really negative person or someone that's very cold.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know,
bullies him, lets other people bully him. You know,
folks might not agree with me, but yeah, like maybe this is sort of like the storm that was meant to come just from all the times of just, you know, putting someone down or lack of affection. Or,
yeah.
And that could be totally wrong. You know, other people are going to be totally on her side and maybe just say, like, Corey's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we already see in the next time on that she's threatening for divorce. When I hear Corey say that he's, I ripped the divorce papers right in front of her face. I was like, you literally were with another chick for like months.
Do you maintain? So when we first talked about this, you said that it is cheating because he was married.
Yeah.
Do you maintain that?
Yeah.
Really? Even after she says, we're done, we're getting a divorce, leave, don't ever come back to Ecuador, we're done, don't contact me again. You still take that as cheating?
Yeah. You gotta...
You're so nice.
You gotta get some like divorce papers going or something.
Man, I don't know. Someone kicks you out like that and you're just supposed to wait a year for divorce processes to go by?
Did they say that they're getting a divorce? Yada, yada,
well,
yada.
I don't love you. Get out of here. Don't come back. Get out of Ecuador. I mean, it's very clear to me if someone says that. We're done.
When they both had cooler heads, he needed to have a conversation with her and say, I need to know if this is over. Like right now.
I don't know
if now I that need we're not to, fighting, you're not in the passion. Is this over? And if they, you know, they both say
someone
yes.
Someone screaming and kicks you out Is that the person's responsibility who got kicked out, or is that the responsibility of the person who did the kicking out?
Can we find out why that fight even started?
I was just wondering that, and I can't remember.
That's weird. We might need to go back and research or something, because that just seems like crazy. Like, I don't know, I can't remember why they even fought to kick him out.
I don't know, but it happened, and she was very clear about what she wanted at that time. And now that it's all blowing up in her face, she says, oh, well, it was pretty much a test. I thought if I left him, you know, he would do what I said. Boy,
you got to stop with these fucking tests because they're not going
to
go well.
No, they never go well. I mean, what's the point? Like, you want them to fail pretty much.
Right.
And then if they do the right thing...
Well, you need to reward them if they do the right thing?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't mean anything. And then if it blows up in your face, well, that's on fucking you. I don't know. I just didn't feel bad about the crying because it's not sincere. It's not... In the sense that it's trying to be portrayed, excuse me. The tears are real. She's playing it off like she feels betrayed, but she's only crying because it blew up in her face. That he really did move on.
Yeah, or he moved on so fast.
Why is she acting like she never cheated on him?
Yeah, that is weird. And they don't bring that up.
No. Because, honestly, I'm not a very great person. I'd be throwing that in her face all the fucking time. And we wouldn't last.
I guess because they weren't married at the time, it's not as big of a deal.
It doesn't count. Okay. Yeah. Also, she says that she didn't think that he would physically be able to have sex with her. I'm just like, it don't work like that.
Yeah,
that's a very nice thought you have, that you are the key to this man's
sexuality. Maybe he's into me so much that he just can't perform for another woman.
Oh, that's some real high hopes. All right. Anything else with them? Did I gloss over too fast? I feel like I covered it all.
No. No, not at all. This is great.
Oh, last thing I want to touch on with them. She said she doesn't believe him now, but, like, what's not to believe now? What else could he be lying about? She just keeps saying, I don't believe you. He's telling you they had sex. He's telling you it was a full-blown relationship. What else could he be saying? That there were multiple women, maybe? I don't know.
No, I seems like he's being straight up. Like, this is it. I'm not sure.
Is this a test? Is this another test? Is he supposed to stay and, like, fight for her now? Yeah. And she'll get super mad if he leaves? On the next time on, we see Ellie confronting Victor about the cheating, so it officially happens. Ari's mom wants her and Benny to move closer to them, and we see her sister say it's time to get real about life. Armando wants to have a baby, but Kenny would rather adopt. Smit says living away from his parents that he has missed them most of the time, and this sets Jenny off. Alina tells her mom, I can't even drink coffee, but Stephen can break the commandment of chastity. She calls him a hypocrite, and her mom tells her to break up with him and that there's no sense to continue this type of relationship. Agreed. Evelyn tells Corey again that she wants him gone and asks if he's going to sign the divorce papers. Also, she will involve the police if he does not leave.
Also, this is all talk. Like, there are no divorce papers. She's just...
I don't understand why we're even talking... Like, why are we talking about them anymore at all? Because we know they're together and they're married and...
How do you know this?
Because they're social media.
Oh.
And Reddit is the key to everything.
This is some good novella shit she's pulling. Like, is this all an act? And she's just...
No, I don't
like the whole that well. Like, the whole, like, we're not married, but we've been married for, like, 2 years.
Oh, my... I'm just so upset about that. I don't even care about this.
Is she reeling us in, like, a novella, doing her best acting?
I think they're trying to save the season because it got out. They've been married for years.
Crazy, huh?
You think this is all fake?
I'm starting to think that.
It's possible. I do not put it past them, considering they've lied about basically every season.
Okay. Jenny's like her best friend or something.
Oh my god. Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. Thank you so much for your grace and understanding in the delay of the episode.
Thank you for all the listeners, really.
Yes, we've had some new listeners for the past week, and it was really cool to kind of see the numbers jump up a little bit. I appreciate every listen, so it's really fun to see kind of additional listeners and it's also a super big compliment to have a returning listener, because that means, you know, they didn't totally hate the episode, which I love. So thank you so much. Thank you for your grace and your patience with us. We will continue to put out content and hopefully just have it one for you next week for 90 Day Fiancé. And then we'll have two later this week for Married at First Sight. We'll kind of do a double episode and kind of hit on the bigger themes of both episodes. So thank you so much. Have a good week. Treat yourself. And we will talk to you soon. Bye. Bye.
Bye, guys.